For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin. According to the National Cancer Institute, more than 21,000 women in the United States are diagnosed with ovarian cancer each year. The Institute also says about 15,000 women die of the disease each year in this country. And yet we hear relatively little about this type of cancer. Today and tomorrow in this special report, we'll learn more about ovarian cancer, including why it's difficult to detect, whether researchers are optimistic about finding more ways to treat it, and resources that are available to survivors and their families.
Majority of the women who are diagnosed, some of them still have, you know, whether it's their uterus and or one or two ovaries and or tubes, end up having to go in and get a hysterectomy, but it's more of a major operation when these women go in and have this done.
That's the voice of Elizabeth Jordan. She's the program director of a group called Ovarian Awareness of Kentucky.
They also end up getting in there and removing parts of, whether it's parts of the colon, or, but they call it a debulking surgery. And the overall surgery itself can last up to about 9.5, 10 hours. And my mother, unfortunately, had to go through that process.
According to the National Cancer Institute, mortality rates for ovarian cancer have not improved in some 30 years since the war on cancer was first announced. However, other cancers have shown a marked reduction in mortality, largely because of the availability of improved treatments and early detection tests. This isn't the case with ovarian cancer, which is still considered the deadliest of all gynecologic cancers. Dr. Daniel Metzinger is an oncologist at the University of Louisville who specializes in the treatment of ovarian cancer patients through his work at the Brown Cancer Center.
Ovarian cancer affects a relatively small amount of women a year, although it's a very deadly cancer. So although it's the second most common gynecologic cancer behind endometrial cancer, uterine cancer, is the most deadly. And it's the most deadly because it's typically found in the vast majority of women in later stages.
Sue Wilson was chairperson for an Episcopal Church ovarian cancer awareness seminar recently held in Warren County. She believes public awareness is vital in dealing with this disease.
Today, there really is no answer yet to ovarian cancer. So one of our main goals in this is to make everybody, not just women, but all persons aware of the deadliness of ovarian cancer and the need for research, good doctors, and better educate women to some of the things they can do, maybe to prevent it.
The American Cancer Society says birth control pills can reduce the risk of ovarian cancer, especially among women who use them for 5 years or more. These women have about half the risk of getting ovarian cancer compared with women who never used the pill. However, birth control pills do have some serious side effects and risks, and women thinking about taking these drugs for any reason are advised by the Cancer Society to first discuss the pros and cons with their doctor. Dr. Daniel Metzinger says one of the problems in dealing with ovarian cancer is that the symptoms of the disease are difficult to detect and frequently aren't noticeable until the disease has already progressed.
Now, the things they tell you to look for, like bloating and distension and difficulty eating, the problem with those symptoms are late-stage symptoms. So when that's what you're looking for, the cancer's out of the barn. So we have to develop strategies that are different than we have to do with other cancers. If you think of other cancers like cervix cancer, you have a pap smear, colon cancer, you have a colonoscopy, breast cancer, you have a mammogram, and so on. I don't think we're going to develop something like that. We have to develop something that's going to predict which women are going to get ovarian cancer.
The American Cancer Society says a risk factor is something that affects a person's chance of getting a disease. Different cancers have different risk factors. Most ovarian cancers happen after the change of life, menopause. Half of these cancers are found in women over the age of 63. Obesity is also a risk factor. Very overweight women seem to have a higher risk of getting ovarian cancer. A study from the American Cancer Society also found a higher rate of death from ovarian cancer in women who were overweight. And a woman who has had children has a lower risk of ovarian cancer than women who have had no children. That risk goes down with each pregnancy. Breastfeeding may also lower the risk even further. Once again, Elizabeth Jordan of the group Ovarian Awareness Kentucky.
There's so many women out there that don't know anything about this disease. There's so many women out there that still don't know. You know, a lot of women think that whether they have health insurance or not, they're trying to be responsible, even if they don't have, and health insurance, and they're still trying to be responsible women and taking care of their bodies, and going and getting their annual exams and paying it out of pocket. And they get that little card in the mail, and they think that, you know, well, my pap smear was normal. I'm good to go. I'll see the doctor in a year. And, you know, they get that little card in the mail, and they think everything is okay. And it's a misconception that, you know, a lot of women still have that. And that's not the case, because a pap smear is only going to detect possibly cervical cancer, and it's not going to, you know, pick up on the ovarian cancer.
Jordan says her family was shocked to learn about ovarian cancer when her mother was diagnosed with the disease.
When you're diagnosed with something like this, you obviously have the issue of, do you stay here in town? Do you go somewhere else? And then you're faced with the issue of, you know, the little things. Well, if I decide to go out of state to have this major surgery that I'm being told I need to have, is it the right thing? And if I do that, then that means recovery away from home. That means, and does that then entail going through chemo away from home? Those are the kinds of steps that these women go through and that these women have been through. I was not an employee here when my mother was diagnosed, and I feel like I'm a fairly well-educated young lady. I've got a college degree in psychology. Everyone in my family went to college and went to law school or even, you know, have their master's degree and come from a good family. And we just, when we heard ovarian cancer, we were just kind of oblivious, had really no idea what ovarian cancer really was. And when we started to learn more, obviously we had more questions. And particularly when you're faced with something like that and when you're told you only have 6 to 8 months to live, it can be a very painful process.
And Dr. Daniel Metzinger says another complication with ovarian cancer is that it can spread very rapidly.
It's a relatively quick-acting cancer. The ovaries are floating around in the abdominal cavity, have a lot of space to grow. The cancer typically develops on the surface of the ovary. Little cells are flicked off into the abdominal cavity, and they'll float around and land somewhere and develop a little colony. And that colony will grow and flick off cells, so you get almost a studding of the abdominal cavity.
Tomorrow at this same time, we'll have the second segment in this special report. We'll hear about resources available to patients and their families, and we'll also hear whether some researchers are optimistic about finding a more effective way to help treat ovarian cancer. This has been a special report of the Public Radio Service of Western Kentucky University. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Dan Modlin.